Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This season of Advent, we have been devoted to listening to the forerunner, to listening to the words about and from St. John the Baptizer. Advent is that time of preparation. We follow these words. We follow him as he prepares the way for the Lord. John will often proclaim who Jesus is. In fact, the verse right after our text ends says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And that's what John recognized. John realized that he had come not to be the Savior, but to make straight the path. John vehemently did that. He lived a dirty life out in the wilderness. He lived a hard life. Because after all, when you spend your whole life preaching repentance, that means that you're telling people that they're sinners in need of a Savior. That is not an easy message to proclaim because people often despise you for that. And yet he knew, even from his mother's womb, that that is what he had been called to do. This is why he had been created by God for this purpose. And so they come out to him. "Who are you? Are you the Christ?" "I am not the Christ." "Are you Elijah?" "No, I am not." "Are you the prophet?" "No." John denies that he is the Messiah because he knows that he is there to proclaim the Messiah. John does whatever he can to make the path straight and then get out of the way so that people would be led in droves to Jesus. John knew that he couldn't save them, but he knew that Jesus could. This is his confession. John very much is a prophet. John very much has come as Elijah. Jesus even proclaims that. But John wants none of the spotlight. He wants none of the glory to be on him. He wants it all to be on the actual Messiah. Martin Luther said this about John in our preaching of our text. He said, "John is saying, 'I do not prophesy of him like a prophet does, but I speak as a forerunner, so that you give place and make room for him so that he can approach. I do not say, behold, he is in the future, as the prophet spoke, but I say, behold, he's coming. He's here. I do not speak words about him, but point at him with my finger. For as Isaiah had previously prophesied, that before him such a cry should come to make way for the Lord, so I am that very one, not a prophet. Therefore, step aside, give room, and let the Lord himself now walk among you. Do not look for any more prophecy about him." Unlike the prophets of old, John proclaims a message about the here and now. The prophet said the Messiah will come. John says the Messiah is here. "I am not even worthy to untie the straps of his sandals." And yet his own Lord came to him, went down into the water to be baptized by this baptizer. Not because Jesus needed to repent. No, he is sinless. He is God in the flesh. But so that he might make holy the waters that wash us in our baptisms. John is constantly pointing people to Jesus. John would proclaim the message, the way of the Lord. And now we see so many people claiming that there are multiple ways to the Lord. The world, ruled by the devil, does whatever it can to mar the actual path to salvation. It tells you there are multiple ways to the same God. And yet Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the only salvation. Faith in him and him alone is what saves. The eternal Son of God came down. He took upon the flesh in the womb of a virgin for the purpose of dying for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world, even those who do not believe in him. But faith gives us that blessing, gives us that benefit. John the Baptist was imprisoned after this for proclaiming the truth. Because when you speak the truth about what marriage is, it irritates people. It rubs them the wrong way. That is, unless they believe in the Lord Jesus. John had proclaimed a message to Herod that he had unlawfully, and more importantly, according not to God's word, taken a wife. The woman that he took as his wife was actually his brother's wife. His brother was still living. She was not a widow, as it would have then been fitting. No, she was still alive. Marriage is to be for life. That is how God created it in the beginning, in the garden. He made them male and female. That a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh until death. A man and a woman. This king took for himself his brother's wife, a woman that was not hers for him to have. And John preached against it. It is sinful what Herod did, and John proclaimed that. And he was locked up for it, and ultimately his head was taken for it. But the fact is that we haven't really figured out marriage any better today, have we? Just this last week, our governing authority thought that they could once again further redefine what God has already clearly laid out. The pastors of the Wyoming District of the Missouri Synod put together a statement, and I want to read part of that for you today, because I think it's really well read. They write, "For her pastors and congregations, God created man as male and female and instituted marriage as the lifelong conjugal union of one man and one woman. By this design for mankind, God continues to create the fruit of children, gives companionship in marriage and family, and provides help against lustful desires. God gave marriage to be the fountainhead of goods that he intends for all children and adults, for all communities, and for all churches. These truths about marriage are not private religious opinions. The biblical teachings on marriage are taught by nature itself. They have no particular traditional, national, ethnic, or cultural character to them. They are universal truths. They apply to all people of all places and all times. They are the foundation and source of all just civil laws for marriage and family. Every legitimate government is bound by God to promote and defend them. H.R. 8404, an act to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, rejects this foundation for just and good laws. It proposes to repeal the laws of nature and of nature's God, to replace God with government and his laws with unnatural laws. It requires that lies about man's nature and about marriage be established with favored legal status. All legislators who voted for H.R. 8404 have publicly repudiated the works and will of the one true God. By this legislative action, they have established a favored secular religion, which is openly set against the holy triune God. They have rejected God as the only source of just laws, that is, of justice, goodness, beauty, and every civil good. Legislators who claim that Christian doctrine permits or even requires the passage of H.R. 8404 have compounded a sinful vote against a false confession. The governmental establishment of an unnatural, unbiblical definition of marriage does not obligate Christians to give it any faith or credence. Christian love does not permit us to live a lie. All Christians are called to confess the truth of marriage, even if this law brings down civil and financial penalties on them. We must obey God rather than men. By upholding the lifelong conjugal union of one man and one woman, we defend God's plan for protecting people from loneliness, pain, and other evils that follow from the destruction of the family. God the Father sent his Son to be born of a woman within a marriage, to be born under his eternal law. By his crucifixion and resurrection, he obtained eternal redemption and life for all. The church rejoices with every Christian that Jesus offers this redemption and this healing as an answer to all evil, loneliness, and pain. We bring the good news to every sinner that Jesus invites you into the true family of God through faith in him. The letter goes on, and I would encourage you to read the rest. The fact is, we haven't actually respected marriage in quite a long time. Our nation, our culture, even despises it. Long before 2022, and even long before 2015, when the Supreme Court made its decision, our culture has not respected marriage. Divorce is rampant. We see it everywhere. In 1969, legislation was passed to try to make that even easier, as though marriage is not created by God as a lifelong union. But it's not just that either. The marriage bed is stolen. It is taken before God gives us the gift of marriage. Parents barely bat an eye when their children decide to live together outside of the bonds of marriage, even though that is now also God's order. Marriage needs to be better. Marriage needs to be more important, especially in the church. Because if the culture around us that has expelled God doesn't like it, we shouldn't follow them. We uphold marriage because it is God's created order, not because it's my opinion, but because God has created it. That message needs to be proclaimed. Lord willing, none of us will be arrested as John was for proclaiming that truth. But even if it does, be prepared as John was to enter into death for the truth. Because death of a Christian leads to eternal life. They absolutely cannot take that away from you. Jesus Christ died for those who are struggling with all of the things that have been redefined. For all the people who struggle to understand their identity as a creature of God. To understand that marriage is this lifelong union between a man and a woman. Jesus died for all those who have taken that gift before he had given it. Jesus died for all of those that had torn apart the flesh as God had not given. Jesus died for those who have been committed to marriage for over 40 or 50 or 60 years. Jesus died for us all. And thanks be to God that he has done, because we all sin in multiple different ways, and we all need the salvation won by Jesus Christ on his cross. Repent, be baptized, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that salvation is at hand. The church sings. He comes to judge the nations, a terror to his foes, a light of consolations and blessed hope to those who love the Lord's appearing. O glorious sun, now come, send forth your beams so cheering and guide us safely home. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.